Okay, and I said, absolutely, that's a very God-honoring thing to do. And so I thought it was kind of funny, you know, that what we're willing to give in order of convenience. And then, so it's kind of funny to see you not get so much convenience for $700. But I appreciate your efforts. And if you've ever been down there, you know, it's different. When, like, if you go to the beach one day, it's like 2.5-3 hours down, and it's a lot lower elevation, and it's hot down there. I mean, we're sweating, and the time you come home in the evening, especially if it's after dark, you're like, where's my coat, you know? And so, and you get up in the mornings, and they don't have heat and air. They have the heat that's out there and the air that's out there. That's what it is. And so you're in the shower, and you can hear guys going, whoo, whoo, whoo. But it doesn't take them very long to shower. And I usually like to take my shower at night, you know, right before getting in bed. Just, that's when I showered. So usually they had it there because I go home and I tell the pastor, I'm ready to take my shower. You know, you want to turn the thing on. And usually that would be provided at that time. But it's just a different culture. But it's amazing, isn't it, how much we'll give in order for convenience. It's amazing to me. And so I'm really proud of our church for drilling a well this last year and sponsoring, saying, you know what, we'll build 4 houses in Guatemala that'll make a difference for some families, and that's pretty awesome, I think. So I'm really proud of our church for doing that, and I look forward to the pictures next week, especially since they'll maybe the fair weather Christians will be here with us next week. Yeah, amen. you're the diehards. You're the soldiers that are here today. And we took off from the house and we got it down the street a ways. And Janet said, "I wish I'd have stayed home. We were driving on a sheet of ice." So, you know, there's a little risk this morning, but how many knows we get out and go to IHOP? You know, we go to IHOP. So I appreciate you coming on to the house of God this morning for all of you that are here. And we got a good word for you today. And I want you to put something, I've never done this before, but I want you to put something on your schedule. And this may be why you're here tonight at 8 o'clock on the Discovery Channel. I want you to tune that in, and it's called Life. And I think it's 11-part series, and I think they're going to do 2 or 3 parts tonight if you've been keeping up with that. But how many saw Planet Earth in the theater? Well, it's supposed to be like that, except for more detailed and more. And the reason I want you to watch it is because we're going to deal with this second thing we talked about last week. Remember, life is about kind of 3 elements. One is the events that happen to you. The second thing is what you think about the event that happens to you. And the third is what you do with those feelings after the event. And how many knows those feelings last a lot longer sometimes than the event? And so the reason I want you to watch Life tonight is I want you to watch it and say, God is in that. Because it's going to show some amazing stuff. The advertisement is just awesome. It shows a little frog, and you know, you've seen, I don't know if you've ever seen one that night when we've seen them out around when we lived in the country. We used to have frogs up there, and we'd sit there on our patio and watch them, and bug come by and go, you know, and the bug was gone like that. And so they've got video now where they can slow it down hundreds of times, and they show, like, for instance, one little frog, he's jumping up in the air, and his tongue's stuck out all the way, and the bug's right over here, and he's going, oh, and then and it shows him falling back. And it's like, oh. But, you know, if you're the bug, it's like, yay. But I want you to watch it tonight and say, man, if God cares that much, that He gave those animals that kind of intelligence and He cares for them, how much more does He care for me? See? Because here's why I want you to watch that. It's because sometimes we feel like God is not watching, or God doesn't care about a warm shower or something. I think He chuckles at stuff like that, but I think He has a good time with it. But He cares. Whatever affects you and me, God cares about that. He cares. And so I'd like you to watch that tonight. It's 8 o'clock, Discovery Channel. On ours, it's like 7:35 is the HD or whatever that deal is. It's 7:35 at 8 o'clock. So I'd like you just to tune into that tonight and watch and see what God is doing. And then just ask the Holy Spirit, say, you know, do you love me like you love them? I mean, and you get the sense of all He's doing in the animal kingdom, and how much more does He love you. Shows one little monkey, and I guess he's cracking acorns or something. He's got a rock, and he's going, you know. And I thought, wow. And He gives us intelligence to do whatever. Heard a story about a nature story about that one time, and says, and this guy was showing how he would catch monkeys, and how he did it was he would feed them a rock salt. They love this rock salt, and he'd just bust it up and set it all out there, and they love that stuff, and then they'd get thirsty, and he'd follow them to the water hole, and he was studying them and everything, and he thought, and he needed to catch some of them to vaccinate some and do different things, put tags on them, and so they figured out how to do that. They put this stuff that they love and they won't turn loose down in a hole that's just big enough to put their hand in, and they squeeze their little hand in there, and they can feel it, and they know what it is, and when they try to pull it out, it won't come out. And so they're so attached to that stuff that they can just walk up and just catch the monkey. He won't turn loose. He can't get his hand out, but he won't turn loose. And so they just catch the monkey, and then they tag him and do whatever, you know. And I thought, we're like that a lot, aren't we? Here's what you guys saw. Here's what you saw that touched your heart about people that's happy. They'll turn loose the stuff so they can worship. They'll turn loose the stuff that takes too much time. We won't. Because we've got to have our stuff. We're Americans. Well, he's got some of that stuff. I want some of that stuff. Your stuff looks better than my stuff. Where'd you get your stuff? What was your stuff? And so we won't turn loose for our stuff. I heard a guy from Russia say one time, he said, it's hard to worship God in America, in the United States of America. He said, because you got so much stuff that you're busy with it all the time. He said, in Russia, we're not so busy. He said, we have time to worship and pray and meditate and read the Word. He said, but it's very hard to worship God in here's how proud we are. Have you ever traveled abroad somewhere? You say, what they say, where are you from? You say, I'm from America. You know what they say? Which one? Because we think we're the only ones, right? We're Americans. And I've had people ask me, which one? So now anytime I travel, they'll say, where are you from? You're in the United States of America. Because we think that's the mindset we are. We're all about number one. But that's just a little something I wanted to give you today. And some of you came and you'll get something tonight from that. Holy Spirit began talking about that this morning. I thought, well, I'd never advocate watching a TV program when you get home. But some of you, it's more than just a TV. Some of you, it's ordained for you to do that tonight. I think it is for me because I love that kind of stuff. But some of you, you'll connect with that tonight as you watch that. You got your Bible and ready to learn? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name. Romans 12, I want to read it again today. Romans 12, because this is the key verse that I want you to get ingrained in your spirit. Because God still wants to do some transforming. It was funny when, who was it talking? Anna was talking. And Anna, you were saying, you know, I'm trying to learn to listen to God. And my wife said, aren't we all? And then Renee chuckles in front of her and shakes her head. And so we're quite a bit older than you, and we're still trying to be obedient to the Lord. Because sometimes it's just inconvenient, isn't it, to be obedient? You know, if to come here today, you had to get out of your warm bed and tread over ice and slide around a little bit to get here. It was a little inconvenient, wasn't it? And sometimes it's just inconvenient to give. Sometimes it's inconvenient to give money for other people's homes when I'd like to do something else to my house. You know, sometimes it's inconvenient. And then sometimes we hang on to things. And what I'd like to see after we get this series accomplished, done, I'd like to see transformation in our heart that says, you know what, I used to deal with this issue, whatever your event is, whatever issue you deal with, and it doesn't look like Christ, that when you get through with this series, you get enough scripture inside of you, and I'll give you a scripture, a transforming scripture, another one at the end of each session, and I will give you a little thought at the end of each one, just to say, you know what? I want to be transformed in this area. If you're a stressor, for instance, I don't want to stress in this area for the rest of my life. And maybe you're 50, 60 years old, but you know what? You can change. You don't have to be a stressor in that area from now till Jesus comes. And so there's an area or two that I want to work on and I want to change. And so I want to be transformed in these areas. And so what I'm looking for me is transformation in the areas where I struggle. Usually faith is not one of mine to launch out and to do. That's a gift that I have. You know, when we came here, it's a gift of faith. We go to Guatemala. What started that was a gift of faith to say, I believe there's something there that we need to, you know, and you hear about the dangers. You go online and you hear, you know, there's somebody asked me this before this trip, well, isn't there like gorillas and things around and often, you know, waiting in the wings? I said, probably so. How many knows in Oklahoma City, though, we have somebody shooting somebody every day? The other night we were at home and we had just left the area because it's right over by our house, and on Western and I-240, a drunk runs into the back of a family's car and kills one, the little boy, and seriously injures the little girl, and then he was out on bond, and now they've got him back in jail. But just, I mean, they're just out probably for a family evening, and so you never know when we're going to slip from this life out into eternity. Just right, I thought, you know, I've been at that intersection thousands of times, just going to dinner or coming out here or what, just that same intersection, and just boom, you know. Yesterday, there's a family from Texas, and he was on the phone in the ice and overcompensated and rolled his SUV, and one of the little kids wasn't strapped in and was thrown out of the car and killed yesterday. You just never know. You never know. So, but faith is the ability to go in without stressing. And maybe that's you, though. Maybe you have a, every time you have to do this, whatever this event is, you just stress out about it. Oh, just stress out about it. You know, maybe next time you go to Guatemala, you won't stress so much. If you ever go, maybe that was the only time you had to go. You just wanted to see if you'd go. But the fact is whatever area it is about you, maybe there's something you fear. You have a fear, and so you just stay away from it. We handled part of that, discussed part of that in our men's meeting Wednesday night. We don't do some things. And it gave me a new insight for some guys. You know, have you ever seen guys that were just athletes, and that's all they wanted to do is just play golf or whatever, just have fun? And I never looked at it from this perspective, but it gave me a little bit more understanding of some of these guys, because I always thought they were just, you know, just losers. Is there a better word for that? You know, just they won't work. They just, you know. But what they said was, what John Eldridge was talking about, he said, you know, psychiatrists say, if some of these athletes are really good at this and they've never been taught how to work, then they feel like a failure. That's an area that they're afraid of because they've never, and then if they get a little job and they get fired from it, then there's an area of fear here that this macho athlete wants to avoid because he's good at this. And we all like to stay in something we're good at, right? If you're good at it, you know, if you like to play Scrabble because you're good at it, you say, come on, you want to play Scrabble? Oh, yeah, I love to play Scrabble. Come on, I'll take you on. And then for some of us that can't spell dog, you know, we said, I don't really like that game. I don't like that game. Okay, D-O-G. I can spell dog. I do have a master's, but you know what I'm saying. It's an area that we don't want to deal in because I never thought about that. Did you? Did you ever think of an athlete like that? It just gave me a little greater understanding for them to say, you know what, that maybe I need to give more of a benefit of doubt because I don't know where they came from. But we all have fears. How many just say in the building there are areas that you still stress in? Yeah. And so after this series, let's get a little more scripture. And here's the key is every week, remember, whatever area you're stressing in, you have fear in, you're dreading, you know, it just, it's one of those areas that you blow up when this happens. And how many just, you know, for a response, you'd like to not blow up anymore? You know, I wish I could just, maybe you've got exes and Texas you'd like to get along with, whatever it might be. Whatever it might be, that you say, you know what, do I have to act like this all the rest of my life through this stress? And the answer is no, you do not have to. And so let's look at it. Last week we read this, we'll read it again next week. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is what? Your reasonable service. Some translations say it's your spiritual worship. When we give everything over to God, that's our spiritual worship. You want to worship God, he says, give him lordship in every area of your life. How many knows when you're stressing, you take lordship back? That's what you're talking about, Anna. That's what we all wrestle with is when I want to do something one way and God says, no, I want you to do it this way. This is the way. And for instance, when I want to hate my enemies or hold a grudge. And he said, no, I want you to love them. And I said, well, I just can't do that. Then I became Lord of that area in my life. I dealt with an issue this week. How many has ever had family problems ever? Wow, look at all you people with weird families. That's just life, isn't it? And one of my sisters was stressing about my parents are needing more care and more care. And when she's stressing about that, and what really stresses her out a lot is my other sisters that live in the same town, about the same age, that they're close, don't react to my parents' needs the same way she does. And so she brings it up almost every time. You know what she didn't do or what she did do? And finally the other day I said, sis, leave her alone. Well, that's what my husband said last night. I said, well, listen to me and listen to your husband. God is knocking. Pick up the phone. You know, answer it. And if we can't stress about what's happening, we'll stress about what somebody else is not doing about what's happening. And we make fun, you know, we have a little fun with that, but we're just as bad. Because we want to stress about something. You know, and if you don't act like I do, and in the ministry, you see that all the time. Well, if you don't do what I'm doing in ministry, Pastor, what's wrong with you? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with me. I'm not like you. And you're not like me. We just focus on different things. That's what's different. It's only eyes. Let's just do this. Every time you hear a crickle like that, just say, praise the Lord. Because it's melting, see? Praise the Lord. Yeah. All right. So he says, and do not be conformed. Here's the problem. We are conformed to the world. We're conformed to the world. And we don't really necessarily want to be, but we are. And we're so inundated with world stuff that we can't not be. Because we see it on the TV, we hear it on the radio, we're everywhere in our culture, everywhere we go, the world is there. And there's a new style, a new habit, a new something else that we need to conform to if we're really going to be cool and politically correct. Not called homosexual or lesbianism, it's called gay. When I was little, gay meant hi, not hi, you know. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to, I love homosexuals, I love gay people, they're God's creatures, but I'm just saying, we're toning everything down. We've called abortion freedom of choice. Whatever you call it, babies still die. And if you're here and you've had an abortion, there's grace and forgiveness for you. But we shouldn't advocate it to the next person that hasn't. I'm just saying, that's the kind of culture we live in. And so he says, when he says, don't be conformed to this world, it's hard not to because we hear it every day. It's in sitcoms, it's in movies, it's in everything we watch and do. It's there. Music. It's there. It says, but be transformed. And here's what we want to come to. If whatever area you're working on in your life, if it's short-tempered, it's impatience, it's whatever it is, to say, I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And in that way, it says, you know, and how many would like to know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life? And he said, it's the only way you will know is when you and I begin to conform to the Word and not to the world. And so it's the only way that we're going to know. That's why this is still so important to operate off this, is because this is absolute truth, and anything else outside this, we can't tell if it's absolute truth. They can legislate whatever they want to legislate, but we don't know if it's truth unless we check it against this. Today there may be a historic health care bill passed. Maybe, maybe not. I told Jana last night, wouldn't it be neat to be a fly on the wall and understand in each of these Congress senators in Washington to hear what kind of pressure is being put on who in what's being said. Wouldn't that be interesting to listen to what's going forward this past few days? And regardless of what you think about it. But it'll probably change our culture if it passes. And so it'll be something else to be transformed to. It'll be something else that somebody will say, well, how can I make some money off that? Do you know there's over $2 billion spent last year in fraudulent health care claims? $2 billion. Some never even had a patient, and they'll send in patients' names and prescriptions and all and collect, and some of them make millions of dollars before they ever get caught. Say, well, we bring that up because that's our culture that we live in. That's where your tax dollars go. How do you feel now? I'm just saying, once there's a corrupt culture, then it's going to affect every area of our lives. So we talked about last week, we talked about the event that happens. We talked about what you think, and that's the key thing. That's what we want to change, is what you think about the event and then the feelings that are left as a result. Now, there's three things I want to give you today, and I'll be quickly about it. But one is experience, and I think this is the key thing. Probably the reason you act and react and act the way you do and perform everyday life the way you do life is because of your experiences in life. That's probably the number one key for your life is your experiences. And here, let me give you an example. We have a relative or two. My grandson was one for a while. We have a niece. She's older and she's grown now. But when she was little, they lived out in the country and had a neighboring dog that belonged to an older man and came down to their house and tore her nose across here and laid her nose over, and she had scars. You can still see the scars on her face as a young child, and just tore her up. Her face was, you know, it was terrible, and the old gentleman didn't want to give up the dog for, you know, checking for rabies. Hadn't had any shots, and I can remember I was young, and I said, well, where is he? I'll take him to the vet. They said, well, he won't let you. And I said, I will take him to the vet. Just show him, tell me, you know. I was going to just shoot the dog and the man if I had to and take the dog to the vet. Just really, boy, it really affected me. I thought, this is crazy. This is a child's life compared to a dog that's vicious and came down on their property. And I thought, there's no contest here. Well, they took the dog and they... But, you know, to have a fear then. How many knows the rest of her life she's going to have an unwarranted fear because of experience of what happened to her, and rightfully so, but, you know, the trauma's there and all, to have that fear for the rest of your life. But when you look at a dog, and I look at a dog, unless their teeth are showing or they're growling, we're probably like, well, here, puppy, come here, puppy, you know? But not them, not people that's had this experience. They're like, oh, my God. There's the dog. And, you know, they back up. And that means those dogs sense stuff. And so when people, you've been traumatized by a dog, and you're like, and the dog's like, what's the matter with him? And so they create, because of their experience, they create this environment and this attitude and this, you know, all this stuff is going on. The karma, whatever you want to call it, it's all going on because of the experience they've had. So experiences, and if you've been hurt, maybe somebody's lied to you, and maybe some of you have tried business. How many's ever tried a business and it failed? How many knows like 80-90% of all business that start fail? And you see people say, I'll never do that again. This morning, Jan and I were watching an older gentleman. You remember his name? You remember what they call the potato peeler guy? Did you see that on the news? He sold little potato peelers. You know, he gets them from France. And this guy had sold, like, one weekend, he made his best weekend ever, but he made close to $100,000 selling potato peelers. And he dressed up in a suit, and he sat on the sidewalk of New York for years and years and years, and he just a eloquent man, and you know... But he looked a little out of place, really. But he sat on a little stool that kind of was right, probably this high off the ground. And he said, gather around, I'm going to show you the greatest invention. And it's like a little Y thing. It's got two little deals. And he'd just scrape potatoes. And then he'd chop potatoes. And praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then he would make French fries off the corner. Look at this. And boy, I mean, he could work it. People walk by and say, wow. And he'd say, you have one for so much, and you can have... I think it's one for $5 or five for 20. And so his catchphrase was, when somebody, give me one, he said, you got no friends? Are you like me? You have no friends at all? And so they say, yeah. So he, you know, make $1. But most of the time they're handed 20s for five. And he had boxes and boxes of these things after he died, because that's what he did. He sold them all his life. Now, how many would just say, from experience, if I came up to you and said, you know what, I've got a deal for you, I'm going to make you rich. You say, yeah, what is it? Well, you're going to sit on the sidewalk downtown Oklahoma City and sell potato peelers. Are you ready? Are you ready? How many just look at me because of experience? And you would say, no, thank you. You wouldn't even try it, would you? Because of experience. You've been rejected in business before. But he made a living, a great living. I mean, he lived in a really expensive condo, and they took trips abroad, and he made, they said, they just don't tell how much he made it doing that. Experience. And here's the key to his success was, and it's the key to your success, he had passion for a potato peeler. He did. He didn't care if you liked it. He didn't care if you bought it. He was passionate about his potato peeler. What are you passionate about? Whatever you're passionate about, you can sell it. If you're passionate about houses in Guatemala, you can sell it. Oh, and by the way, Pastor Gregory said the cost of the houses and all, we need like, how much more for each house? 300? For the contractor. He said, really, we need to raise 300 more for each house for the contractor. So it'd be about 1,800 instead of 15. About the original cost we thought. Okay. So I'm just saying that so you can start praying. Kind of like the pastor said, we've got good news and bad news. Got plenty of money. Bad news is it's still in your pocket. Now give it up. I learned that from experience. So experience. Some of you have been married and now you're not married. And you say, I'll never do that again. Because what? Because of experience. Now if you're like me, you've been married forever and you say, you know what? If this one dies, I might have to get another one. Because I'd hate to be by myself forever. And now I'm too old and too ugly, I probably never could get another one, but I'm just praying God let me keep this one forever. But I love married life. But some of you say, phew, not for me. I had one and boy, she beat me up, or he just, you know, and I'll never do that again. It's experience. Here's what I want to give you. Experience lies. You can't put faith in experiences because they won't tell you the truth. If you've had a bad experience, you look at that experience a different than I do. If I've had a bad experience in the area, I'll look at that different than you do. And so you cannot say, you know, if you fell off your bicycle and fell off your bicycle and fell off your bicycle, you say, bicycles are... When we got a motorcycle, people said, those are dangerous. They'll kill you. When it was the tag office, first one I bought, went to the tag office, hadn't bought a motorcycle in years. They would go to the tag office, the guy standing there, older guy, says, I got rid of mine, I'd about kill me on that thing. You know what I told him? I said, well, it's a good thing you got rid of yours then, because I see you've got a fear that if you have, you really don't need to be riding a motorcycle. It's the way some people are. Jessica, remember, that went to Guatemala with us? I told her when we saw her at the camp, right if we got one of them, she said, we'd never get one of those, her and her little fella. We'd never get one of those. Those would kill you. I said, well, so was the car. Why don't you start walking? A lot more people killed on the car. But see, it's experience. Somebody has died. I still have kin folks call me every time somebody has a wreck. Somebody was killed on the motorcycle. Well, thanks for the encouragement. Six people up here died this week in a car. Are you still driving? It's experience, and they can't help it. They got to tell you because it's an experience they've had, and experiences lie. There's millions of people that won't get killed in a car and won't get killed on a motorcycle. I told the guys the other day, I said, my dad used to, he would not let me play football because, boy, you might get hurt. And then he let me have my own business. I'd break racehorses. While I was going to school. I mean, I'd break and train racehorses for other people. And they give racehorses like special food, almost like, you know, uppers, and they put that stuff in their food, and so you just get around and they go, bam, just kick you and bite you and you know, and some of them would throw me off and I'd, you know, hide this stage and just up in the air and just boom, and But Dad would let me do that. But can't play football, you might get hurt. You know why? You know why my dad said that? Because he had a nephew that was maimed playing football in Paul's Valley. And it broke his leg, and for the rest of his life, he walked like this. And that's all my dad could see about football. And he'd always bring him up. You can't play football because you might get hurt. And so that was an experience that my coaches even came out, because he'd let me play basketball, and he'd let me run track. I used to love to run track, and he'd let me do that, but he wouldn't let me play football. And so my coaches come out one day and, you know, Mr. Holder, your son's a real athlete, and man, we could really use him on the team. He said, yeah, that ain't going to happen. And I thought, you better not push my dad too far, because he will push back. And I just already told him he won't do it. Well, we'll come out. Talk. I said, come on out. Bring your speech. But experience lied to him in the fact that everybody that plays football now, they're going to have bad knees. They're going to get hurt. And a lot of people do. Some people are paralyzed because of football. But I mean, it's probably just as great a percentage is in the hospital or killed because of stinking horses. I've been on a lot of trail rides where they'll rear back and throw people off, and you know, and the trauma's on, man. I mean, you just try to help them the best you can. I always know when somebody gets thrown. Jana says, "Jack!" That's how I know. So somebody's got thrown. I told her, my sister, I said, man, you guys just call me every time something's going. It's called Jesus. And they said, well, we do. And then he says, we'll call Jack. Experience. Experience is one of the, you know, it's going to lie to you. And so what I want you to do is say, you know what, this is how I usually operate. For instance, if somebody questions you, and usually this person questions you and gets on your case, your pulse begins to race, and you raise your voice, and you get like this, and you do, you're like that. Well, you know what? Experience has lied to you. You don't have to get like that. Well, I do, because you don't know them. If I don't get like this, they'll just... No, you don't have to do that. For all you parents and grandparents that have to yell at your kids or grandkids, experience has lied to you. Yelling, you know what yelling does? It just deafens the kid's senses. It does. You know what works is punishment. You know why punishment works? It's because this says it works. But we'll see screaming parents and grandparents because they don't believe this. Or they've experienced, they think if they yell loud enough and long enough, they'll finally quit doing whatever it is. I'm yelling, you better quit now. One! Was at the mall, you're like, one! This little kid wouldn't come out. Two! And little kid just come out smiling, you know. And I thought, oh, I think she's going on. But she's like, and he never did. He did that twice, never got to three. I wanted to help him. Three, come on, three. Experiences lied to him. All he would have to do is say, Katie, come on right now or I'm going to give you a spanking. And when she didn't come on, just go over and go, you know, or whatever the punishment he was going to, or come on, or we're going to leave right now. And if she don't come, just leave right now. But experience has said, you know, I'll do the counter, and then, you know, and hopefully she'll come, and everybody, you know, he's stressing more than she is. Because experience lies. That's why we need to say, well, when you're stressing about something, you're fearing something, your jealousy is eating you up, rage, bitterness, anger, fear, whatever it is that's eating on you, say, well, what does the Bible say about it? Because my experience may be telling me a lie, but this will not lie. You know what God said? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. That's the truth. See? But you have to get that engrafted in your heart, or you'll fear a lot of things. You know, fear of the economy, fear I'm not going to make it, fear I'm not going to get a job, fear of I'm going to lose my this, and fear of this, and fear... You know, that's all there, but the thing is, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Just like Philip quoted this morning, I've been old and young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. See? So stay on that gospel track and watch God do some amazing things. Number two is family. You get a lot of things from your family. Do you know that? How your family treats people and reacts to situations, you're probably you probably gain as much off that as anything. My dad's laid back. That's why when people get excited that know me, they'll call for me, because I don't usually get excited like they do. When Jana passed out after a surgery down at our house, I was getting pretty excited at that time because she quit breathing. I put my hand here and I couldn't fit, so I put my face a little sensitive part right down to her nose. She wasn't breathing. And I thought, oh my God, she's quit breathing. And I'd already got 911 on the phone when I'm holding it here, and they said, 911. And so when I felt she wasn't breathing, I thought, I don't have time, and I hung up. And I was calling her name, and I thought, okay, it's 20 minutes from Norman if they get here, just if they leave now. And I thought, she cannot go without air 20 minutes. So I took my hand and I go, boom. And I thought, now your adrenaline's running, so don't break her up. You know? And I go, boom. And when I hit her and it came up, she goes, and I thought, oh God. And the phone rang and I picked it up and they said, Jack. And I said, who is this? And they said, Jan okay? And are your wife okay? We heard you say Jan. Is that your wife? I said, yeah. And they said, I said, well, she quit breathing, but I got her to breathing. And they said, we'll be right there. We got ambulance on the way. I said, okay. And that was a lot more frantic than that. But I knew, and a lot of that reason I was able to think instead of just panic and is because my dad. I grew up when a kid would fall off a horse or get hurt somehow doing some, you know, famous last words of a redneck or y'all know what? Hey, watch this. That's what I grew up in. That's what I grew up in. Hey, y'all watch this. But my dad was just a cool cucumber. I mean, he was. We watched my mother one time. My mother, she used to like speed, whether it's on a horse or in a car. And we had, I don't know how many races, coming home from Sulphur, a little town, and somebody had challenged my mother, and we had a yellow 57 Ford, and if they come on, Mom was on. I mean, there's kids all in the car, but it don't matter. We're like, go, Mom, go get them. Come on, don't let them pass you, Mom. Come on. And we don't even have a seatbelt, you know. We're like, come on, Mom, get them. And Mother's okay. And here we are, just down a two-lane road, you know. So we was used to stuff, you know. But Dad was he was that kind. And I picked that up from him. Eric or somebody was telling me, you are, you know, you're so laid back, you know, and I am. You know, because it just, I've watched him, and you get stuff from your family. But here's the bad part. If your family was different, and your family was screamers, you can't get it out, get it out, you know. Dad never screamed at me. He'd say, boy. That's all I had to say. I thought, ooh. Because I watched him whip the older kids. Like, ow. Why would you do that when he said boy? You know, that's the code word. Come on. That's the code word. Stupid. I'm gonna close. I'm going to give you a scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Then we'll pick up there, because I got some stuff I want to share with you about the family. Because I'm telling you, beyond experiences, family is probably where you're going to get more of your stuff than anything. You watch your dad, you watch your mom, you watch your grandpa, you watch some adult and the way they act and react and behave. And we'll get into that. I got some stuff I want to share with you next week on that. But I want to give you a scripture right here. And you ought to mark some of these or put them down somewhere or gather your own scriptures. You know, because here's what I know. Our belief systems off experiences and events that happen in family and culture and all that, they affect everything we do. How we eat, how we rest, how we take care of ourselves, how we feel, how we think, how we behave, how we react. And so to really guard your heart is key. But look at 1 Thessalonians 5. And start at verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. You know, what do you do with unruly people? That's a part of our event, isn't it? Unruly people, where it's at work or in family or wherever it is. And I did that the other day when I told one of my sisters, don't worry about what the other sister does. Stop doing that. See, I just warned, give her a little click. And her husband had already done that, so it's confirmation. And there's times when that's the best thing we can do for people. That's the best thing we can get sometimes from someone else. It's just a little rebuke, just a little warning. Stop that. Don't do that. It says, comfort the faint-hearted. You know, that's And that's something I need, because the faint-hearted, I'm like, well, suck it up. Come on, get up. You're all right, you know. And so, but some of you, the gift of mercy, it's not hard for you. But that's one area. And it says, uphold the weak. Be patient with all. How many says, now there's a struggle. Be patient with all. And then it says, see that no one renders evil to evil to anyone. Evil for evil to anyone. And so don't worry about justice. Leave that to Jesus. You know, well, if I let them off the hook, you know, that then they won't have to suffer. And if I don't act this way, they won't know how mad. Yeah, they'll know. Just let God do that, see? Let God handle that part. He said He'll take care of that. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. He says, but always pursue. Now watch, this is really key. Always pursue what is good, both for you or yourselves and for who? All. In other words, what is the best thing I could do that would say this is gonna be best for everyone? Any area in your life, in my life, we need to look at that and say, now, before I do this, is this what's best for everybody overall? Is this really? Because we live in a country, in a society, in a culture that says I'm number one. And that's okay to love yourself. That's part of the triangle. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. So you get any of those out of balance and it's going to... But he said, and then it says, rejoice when? Always. Boy, there's a powerful key to overcoming your bad habits, your fears, your whatever, you know, that's stuck in here that doesn't look like God and stuck here that doesn't look like God. That's a power. Have you ever tried to rejoice and gripe at the same time? Run somebody down while you rejoice? I hate them. Hallelujah. I'm going to get even. Praise God. Rejoice always. That's what he said. You know what? You ought to have a rejoicing spirit, because here's what happens. When experience and trauma hits, it just saps your joy, doesn't it? Just sucks the life out of you. He says you lose that and you're going to lose part of the equation. So rejoice always. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In other words, just having a conversation with God. Always talk to God about it. You know, we like to call other people and tell them about it. He said, no, talk to God about it. Talk to God in everything. In everything. In everything. In everything. In everything. Give what? Thanks. Give thanks. Well, you just don't know how awful it is. Well, give thanks not because of it, but because of what you're going to be as you go through the power of God. I'm not, you know, you lose a loved one. Don't thank them for losing a loved one, unless you were ready for them to go. But thank God for the promise that there's a place prepared for them over there. Thank God there's a promise that you will be reunited one day with them, and that He will keep you until your appointed day, just like He kept them until their appointed day. See, there's always something to give thanks for. In everything, give thanks. Jesus said, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. See, there's that looking for the accomplishing of what the cross is going to do. It was there. And that's what sustained Him. Give thanks, for this is the will of God. I just don't know how to do God's will. Well, that's it right there. These few things is the will of God for your life and my life. Rejoicing always, giving thanks always, making sure that it's good for everyone. That's the kicker is right there. It's the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's it. Now, I want to read you something that I thought was just powerful. It says, world famous, and by the way, when we're talking about a healing verse, it's just recommended to have two people, at least two people, if you're wanting to get relief from fear or jealousy or whatever event that you're struggling with, a person, an event, a traumatic event that happened, get two people around you that are positive and know the Bible, that will operate biblically. Two strong people around you. You just need people like that around you if you're going to, and make yourself accountable to them, to say, you know what, here's something I'm working on, and I want you to pray for me. You know, people ask me all the time, would you just pray for me, would you? And give me, I want to know why they want me to pray for them. And if it's a God-honoring thing, I'm going to pray for them. and hold them up. But listen to this. We talk about, it says, world-famous cardiologist Dean Ornish says that if you are loving God and people well, you can eat junk food and still be healthy. I wish what's Michelle was here. World-famous cardiologist Dean Ornish said, if you are loving God and people well, you can eat junk food and still remain healthy. He also tells us that we are 500% more likely to contact a major illness when we are isolated from loving people. Wow. 500%. That's why God said, I don't want you to go alone. If there's a sheep going astray, you better get him because he's vulnerable. God designed us to receive and give love. When we don't follow His design, things start going wrong emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. Life is love. Everything else is just details. That's a good statement, isn't it? Life is love. Everything else is just details. Listen, for some of you in here today, you've had a bad experience somewhere in your life, and it's hard for you to love people. It's hard for you to trust people. Maybe there's a fear about asking when you need to ask and launching out when you need to launch. You know, whatever the event is in your life that's lied to you, I just want the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. And so let's pray. And then I'd like you to take the scripture we give and, you know what, just meditate in that for a while. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that sometimes life experiences lie, and you've uncovered that today, so thank you. There may be people in the sound of my voice today that, you know, what, they've had a traumatic experience in an area and they have unmerited fear because of one experience. Maybe they've failed or been made fun of or ridiculed and are afraid to try things that they need to try, and so that you could bless them with blessings you want them to bless them with. But they're afraid of failure, they're afraid to attempt because of past experiences that's lied to them, and they felt like a failure, so they won't try again, or they won't pursue maybe your best because it might result in failure again. And in any lying experience that we've had, or that makes us operate in anything that's abnormal, it's not life and abundant life that you said you came to leave us, your children. And that's what we all should be experiencing today, is life and life more abundantly. Because Jesus Christ has offered that to us. And so we ask in Jesus' name that you would just free hearts today and minds of unmerited fear, past failures, past hurts. And today that we would get up and say, you know what? It's not about that event. That event is over. All it's about today is how I look at that event. How I feel about that event and what I allow it to do. It's over. The hurt's been done. The thing's been passed. And so now I pray that you'll take our heart and our mind and you'll transform us with these scriptures that we've read today, that, you know what, we can prove what's really good and accept the will of God when we transform our mind and say what God's Word said and live like God's Word says. And when we consider everyone in the circle, what's best for them? What's best for the one that hurt us? And you said, well, the best thing you can do for them is pray for them and bless them and help them. What's the best thing I can do for my body? You said, well, it's to eat healthy and eat moderately. And what's the best thing I can do for fears? You said, well, it's to believe God and say, you know what? God has not given me the spirit of fear, but power and love and sound mind. And whatever else event they're struggling with today, I pray that we'll be transformed by the renewing power of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing today that experiences can lie, but God's Word is true forever. And we choose today to believe Your Word, believe You, Father, and live in peace and love and joy and happiness. Fulfillment. We don't want to live this way in that event anymore. We don't want to act like that anymore. We don't want to react like that anymore. We want to act and react and live and love like Jesus. And I thank you for transforming this. And now, God, we accept your word. And we are transformed by faith in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen. Amen.